branding, experience, conversation, promotion, powerful marketing, empowering small business to change their status quo. It's the Internet Show, all about small business marketing. Jay Arrett hosts the brightest minds in marketing. Power to the small business.
And welcome to the big show. Think of this as your digital air conditioner for the mind. Have you survived the hot summer? We still have a ways to go, but man, it has been a hot Texas summer at my home just outside of Waco, Texas. Wow. So turn up the AC, relax. In episode number 83 of Power to the Small Business, we're going to talk business books. And those of you who listen to this podcast and who read my blog know that I'm a big fan of business books. It was Brian Tracy who once said that 1 year from now, you will be who you are, except for the people you meet and the books that you read. So my education was in financial planning. Everything I've learned about marketing has been a combination of my practical experience as a marketer, plus the books I've read. But the publishing industry, it's going through this big shift right now, and maybe more than at any other time in the history of publishing. What does that mean for business books? In this episode, we talk to one of the guys who probably is the most qualified to tell us. He is Todd Satterston, and he co-wrote the book, The 100 Best Business Books of All Time. He's also the founder of BizBook Lab, where he coaches authors of business books. Todd's going to share his insights into the business book industry and just where the industry is going. And I'm also going to try to get some book recommendations from him, too. While we have him here, why not, right? But before we get to that, let me get some self-promotion squeezed in here. Check out my website, themarketingspot.com. When you do, check on that little webinar spot at the top right-hand corner of the website. My fall webinar series has been announced. These are the deep dives into important marketing functions for your business, like social media, the customer experience, advertising, PR, branding, all the important stuff. And we get deep into it. It's not what to do, it's how to do it. So that's the webinar spot on my website. And coming soon, the Entrepreneur's Edge Learning Center, special learning center, educational courses for small business owners and marketers. And very soon I'll be sending out free invitations to some of my podcast listeners. So stay tuned for that. But enough about me. Let's talk business books. And let's do it with Todd Satterston.
And we go to the Skype line. We're joining us is Todd Satterston. He authored the book called The 100 Best Business Books of All Time. He is also founder of BizBook Lab. It's a company that helps authors write books. Todd, welcome to Power to the Small Business.
Thanks for having me, Jay.
Yeah, awesome. Glad to have you on. I've read your blog over the years and followed you from writing that book, and just honored to have you on our show today to talk about business books, which is a frequent topic here on the podcast and on the blog also. So excited to have you here. We know you know business books because you literally wrote the book on business books. So thanks. So let's just start off maybe by talking about that book, The 100 Best Business Books of All Time. What made you decide to write a book like that?
Well, I mean, I think that there are 11,000 business books published every year, and you stack one on top of another, and you've got a 90-story building. And so with that sort of visualization, you kind of get in your head, my gosh, how am I ever going to find what it is that is worth my time, or more importantly, what book can help me solve the problem that I'm dealing with right now? And so for us, I co-wrote the book with Jack Covert. We were at 800 CEO Read. And we'd written all sorts of things about business books. We'd reviewed them monthly. We even started reviewing them on a yearly basis, saying, gosh, here's the ones that are the best. But we thought what we needed was a stake in the ground that said, what are the most important ideas, authors over the last 50 years that people should go back to? And the other real honest part about the 100 best is it's a Cliff Notes version of a lot of these books, and you can very quickly make a determination of, gosh, should I read the whole thing? Would this really help me more? Or, you know what, I got that in 500 words, and I can be conference room literate now when someone's talking about these things in a meeting, and I can contribute.
Yeah, it's a good starting point, like, because these are, according to you and Jack, the best business books of all time. Now, I'm going to kind of pin you down here a little bit, because you guys in the book, you didn't really say, here's the number one best business book of all time down to the number 100 best business book of all time. What, in your mind, what do you think are the top essential books that entrepreneurs should read for a small business owner? Recommend the couple that you think are the best.
Yeah, I mean, I think that in the small business space, I think it's very important to read a couple of my favorites are, we talk about the Partnership Charter. That's one of the books in the 100 Best. It's written by David Gage. And the reason I find this book so compelling is that it's remarkable how, as entrepreneurs, how often we end up in partnerships of one sort or another. Doctors, lawyers, accountants, frequently end up in those sorts of business arrangements. And there is no place in which we are trained to work in those situations. It also turns out that there was a study done at Marquette University in Milwaukee that said companies that are founded by more than one person are something like 3 times more likely to be successful than single founder companies. They grow faster. And then when you tie this kind of third idea of we're never trained to these companies, they'll grow faster, to when Inc. magazine goes out to entrepreneurs and says, gosh, you know, do you want to hook up with somebody? Do you want to start a company with someone else? 68% of people say, no, that's the last thing I want to do. So when you tie those things together, you end up with this kind of this offsetting situation of there's a situation that more entrepreneurs should be putting themselves in because it will improve their chance of success, yet their attitudes don't allow it. And I think one of those things, and we're never trained how to work in partnerships. So I love this book because Gage, who spends lots of times in sort of family business mediations, you know, that kind of changing of the guard, or the founder gets divorced and suddenly the company is split. How does that end up getting worked out? When you think about all the possible situations that if you get into a partnership with someone, it isn't just, gosh, how are we going to split ownership? It's what happens if one of us gets divorced? What happens if one of us wants to hire someone but the other one doesn't? What happens if we get to a situation one of us wants to sell out and we want to go do something else? Unless you work out, like, I think a business partnership is even more complicated than a marriage because of.
Now, hold on there.
No, seriously. Because in a marriage, to a certain extent, there is this emotional tie that keeps the relationship going or not going. But when you think about how complicated a business relationship could get, it can get out of control, and there's so many situations that you won't even account for. Gage does a great job dealing with that. I think that another good example of a book that small business owners should read is the classic E-Myth Revisited. And I mean, that's just pretty simple, straightforward. The core idea in that is most people think, gosh, I have this passion. I'd love to go do this as a business. And the example that Gerber uses so effectively is baking cakes in the book. And being passionate about something is only one of 3 things that you need to be good at, right? I need to be also a business owner, and then I also need to know how to be a manager, because the only way my business is going to grow is if I can bring in additional people. And until you kind of get your head around that idea, I think there's lots of entrepreneurs that get themselves into trouble. And so those are just 2 books I would say from the 100 Best that I think entrepreneurs should start with. We actually have a whole chapter on entrepreneurship in the 100 Best.
Okay, that's the 100 Best Business Books of All Time, which you co-wrote. Well, Todd, one of the reasons I asked you here on the show, because I've learned so much. I mean, you know, I have a degree in financial planning, but I'm a marketer, you know. So everything I've learned about marketing has come with a combination of the books I've read and the people that I've met and just practical application. But we're in a time now where the publishing industry is changing. It's going through this big change, and business books are changing, both in content and in format. What is this change? Because we keep hearing it's changing, but how is it changing, and what's the big effect of all this change on business books?
Yeah, I think that, I would say two things. I think one of the things that's happening in business books, or actually I should better say is not happening in business books, is that with the growth and story after story that we're hearing about what's happening in the ebook space, business books in general are lagging that trend. It seems still that there's both some good data that's being put out about how nonfiction is definitely lagging in terms of adoption in the ebook space versus fiction, but I also have anecdotal evidence of talking to lots of publishers that's saying this is not the same thing we've seen before. For example, when Amazon came into the space in 94, 95, there was a huge shift, almost immediate shift, from bricks and mortar stores to Amazon for book buying purchases in the business book space. We're not seeing that in the ebook space. And I think what it indicates is that there's just a different use case for why people use how people use business books. I think we tend to use them as gifts. We tend to use them as resources that we're going to give to someone else. I think we like highlighting and leaving notes in the margin and being able to go back to them. And the technology side of that just has not been worked out in the ebook space side. Certainly you can bookmark. Certainly you can leave comments in the Kindle. Anyone who does it would tell you it's just plain awkward still. And so until the technology piece that I think catches up, I think you're going to see business books still being bought primarily in the print form. The second thing, and this is, I think, an equally important trend, is that business books are getting shorter. They are getting to be about more about a single idea versus a plethora of ideas. A book like Good to Great, for example, I think is an outlier from the sorts of books that we're seeing published today. So what I would say is that in some ways, I think the market is reacting to what business people want. They want an airplane read. They want something that they can get in and out of in a couple of hours. Certainly, the way Seth Godin is treating his Domino Project, where every book is about 82 pages. It might be 10,000 words. I don't know. It might be. It's interesting because what you're seeing is there's a trend actually in books getting longer in the bestseller space and sort of the fiction and serious nonfiction space. In business books, it's certainly getting shorter. We did an analysis about 3 or 4 years ago, and the average bestseller is getting about 100 pages longer, believe it or not. Long-form content in books is getting longer. We did the same analysis on the business book side, and we found on average over a 10-year period that business books were getting 100 pages shorter.
Wow. So what is the average page count now of a typical business book?
Oh gosh, it's got to be 150 to 170. You know, the standard size is, it's that standard 6x9, 224 pages. I mean, that's kind of the sweet spot for business books. But what we're seeing is 170, 150. We're seeing that trim size get smaller. We're seeing more and more of those, the 4x6 kind of almost like gift-like books. So the page count doesn't matter so much as probably the number of words. And what used to be 100,000 words that you would expect in a business book, gosh, 50 to 60,000. And, it's not even surprising to go down to 20,000 now.
This is a little bit of a sticking point for me because I read business books to learn. And I wonder if this is a result, Todd, of who's writing the business books now? Because if you talk to publishing companies right now, they want you to have this platform online, right? And so you have to have this blog. So we get a lot of what I call blog posts in a book. Mm-hmm. Which personally, I don't buy them because I can read your stuff on a blog. Why do I want to buy a book to read the same thing that you talk about on your blog? And so maybe these books are shorter because you have a lot of bloggers writing books and they're writing blog posts in a book.
Yeah, and you certainly see a lot of that. I think that we could point back to anybody we've already talked about that. So to a certain extent, if you read any of Seth Godin's writings, whenever you go to any one of his books, you see certainly a thread of what he's written about, whether it's actual things you've seen on his blog or, gosh, stuff that sounds really close. I think what's interesting about sort of the blog to book space, I'm not sure it's a majority of the category yet, but I would bet that it's somewhere between probably 10 and 20% of the business book category is exactly what you're talking about. And I think if you're an avid reader of a given person, that I'm just as annoyed as you are when that happens. The only thing I'll end up saying is that my experience is that it's almost impossible to simply take blog posts and put them into a book. There's always some level of curation, editing, addition. I don't know anybody who goes and creates that kind of book who doesn't end up going and touching that material again. It doesn't solve the first problem that you have, but I think that there's still a value that ends up being added in taking that material, you know, binding it into that, you know, 200-page paper object that it sits all in one spot. Is it enough for the fan? I don't know. Is it enough to build the platform and find a wider audience for the ideas, for people who don't read online, for people who don't? Yeah, I think it can be successful in those other spaces. I think it has the problems that you're talking about, but there are additional upsides, I think.
I want to go back to your original point that business books are lagging behind in the ebook space. Do you have some data on as to the percentage breakdown of how much of business books are still sold like in stores versus online and the ebook format?
Yeah, I mean, what's interesting about that is that the first thing I would say is that, you know, a lot of people ask me, well, what's the average number of copies a business book sells? And I have to say, well, that's like the wrong question, because there is no average. It turns out, like a lot of things in life, there are the black swans, the things that like sell really, really well, the Jim Collins and Malcolm Gladwell and Michael Lewis that sell in the millions of copies. There's that kind of mid-tier, which are people that if you follow the business book space probably know. There's the there's the Seth Godins and the Clay Christensens and people like that. And then there's the long tail, right? There's the millions of books that sell, you know, 100 to 1,000 copies. And so what ends up determining, I think, some of that ratioing that you're talking about is, one, it's impossible to be still at this point. It's impossible to be a best-selling author without having that book in the retail environment. I would say 80% of the sales of something like, you know, Blink or Tipping Point or The Big Short happen in the retail setting still. There's just too many people that still use that. But what happens is that as you move kind of back out of those black swans into those kind of mid-tier sorts of books and then the long tail, that ratio then shifts. That it is not unusual at all that when you get into mid-tier stuff that it's more like 50-50 between online and bricks and mortar. And then certainly when you got into the long tail, the vast majority goes probably to 80% the other way in terms of online, because they're not even going to be in the retail stores, right? I mean, the only way you're going to find it is off an author's website, and they're probably going to direct you to Amazon because they've self-published it, or they may have even gone through a publisher, but Amazon's going to be the best place for that. In relationship to the ebook issue, I don't have solid numbers. What most publishers are saying as a general basis is that their revenues now are somewhere between 5 and 10% are ebook sales. I think that in the business book space is probably 3 to 6. It's probably half that amount. So that is a growing category. There are people already this year that are saying that's going to be somewhere between 20 and 30% of overall, I mean, publishing sales, that it's going to move that quickly. So it's absolutely amazing. It's still a very small percentage, though, of overall book sales.
Well, how then do we get Amazon saying they're selling as many Kindle books as they are regular books, or even more Kindle books than they are?
Because Amazon, while they continue to grow, it's a very genre-specific situation that Amazon is in. And that to think within their world that they – I mean, they're doing – the Kindle is the best-selling product that Amazon has ever sold. They've been very clear and forthright and wanted to make sure everybody knows that, hey, I've sold more of these than any other book I've ever sold, any other product I've ever sold on my website. So to think that they're going to end up doing a really good job of shifting customers from the paper product to the electronic product, we should expect that inside their ecosystem. It's just understanding how Amazon fits into the overall publishing ecosystem. They get Amazon is a very important supplier to just about every publisher. We all know them and love them, you know, certainly if we're in the online space. But understanding that they're a player, but not the, you know, Barnes & Noble is a huge player. They're going to do, you know, a couple billion dollars a year in books. borders, we're going to have to kind of figure out what's going to happen with that. But there's also lots of other segments in terms of the way books are sold. So what I would say is that Amazon, the reason you can see that shift is because they've shifted their customers to the product.
Okay.
And that, and so for us to go, oh, well, we're selling more Kindle books now than we're selling ebooks is more of a PR play on their part than I think it necessarily is some indicator of the overall trend in terms of where the overall market is. Does that make sense?
Well, sort of in a confusing way, but yeah, I understand. So, Ty, you've told us how business books are changing right now and where they are right now. What do you see as the trend for the future? Will it stay about the same, or do you see that shift going into the ebook space and all online?
Yeah, I don't see how over time we don't end up solving this problem of being able to add marginalia to books. A lot of the early rah-rah around moving books to the electronic space was people said, oh, it's going to be great. We're going to be able to add audio, or we're going to be able to have video. There's this wonderful publisher that's creating a set of tools called Push Pop Press, and it's going to make books the interactive things that we thought they would always be in the electronic environment. But for me, when I think about what I would want as an enhanced ebook, what I want is to be able to see your comments, Jay. I want to be able to follow you like I can on Twitter, see what you're highlighting, see what you're commenting on. To me, that's the idea of an enhanced ebook. And I think we've got to solve that problem before there's a lot more transition that goes into the digital space. I think there's a second problem around. I think we're going to end up at some point having to think really hard about what a book is. Like, we tend to think of a book as lots of different things. I've come to think of it as the paper thing, the codex, as the industry term for it. I think that when you look at how different we experience books in the electronic space, that we're almost going to have to find a way to call them something different, because I think we're going to interact with them differently. They're going to take on different forms. Like, I would almost compare it to, I think it's really interesting watching the rise of visual thinking in general. And in particular, we're seeing more and more use of, like, comics, for example, in the business book setting. There's a company based in California called Smarter Comics that's actually taking books, the Long Tail, Hopkins books on selling, and turning them and readapting them for a comic book format. I think we're going to see things move lots of directions, and almost we're going to find even more ways to take in the same information that we used to. And I think that we've got to solve some problems in the electronic space before all of that other stuff can happen.
We're running out of time, but I could probably talk to you for about an hour about business books. But I want to get your opinion and your advice for our listeners here on how to find the right business book for what we need. Because you said there are 11,000 published each year. Is that right? 11,000?
Yes.
Well, how do we find the business book that helps our business? What's some good advice from you on how to do that?
I think the first thing you should do is, if you are actually in, say you're in the retail setting, you're standing in front of a bookshelf inside of Barnes & Noble, first thing you should do is you should ask your friends. There's somebody else that's reading a book. And word of mouth and getting referrals from other people, like in business, are probably the most effective way. People know who you are. They know the problems that you're dealing with. They're probably the best person, the best people to go to. The media pretty much has walked away from reviewing business books, so it's really hard to even find reviews anymore. So I'd go to friends first. The next thing I do is, if you actually have a book sitting in front of you, I would scan the table of contents, because the language and the words that they use would tell you a lot about, gosh, is this book good for me? The second thing I would do is I'd go to the index, and I would try to find terms that match up with the problem that you're dealing with and see, gosh, does this work? So start in the front, start in the back. And then, and I'm absolutely amazed by this, when I speak to audiences and I ask them to raise their hand and I say, how many of you read the introduction to the book? Almost only 50% of the people raise their hand.
Wow.
And I try to tell them the introduction is the most important part of the book. They,
wow.
Somehow we think, oh, you know, we think back to college and those silly introductions at the beginning of the classic like Penguin paperbacks that were useless, but we wanted to jump right to the story. In business books, the introduction is the most important part. And so read that, and you're going to find out what the promise is that the author is making to you. And if you don't believe that promise, or you can't find what the promise is, then you should walk away from that book and pick up another one. I've written a whole manifesto on this at changethis.com called How to Read a Business Book. And I've got a whole bunch of other tips there. So that's where I'd sort of direct your readers if they're, gosh, I'd love to read more business books. I don't know how to do it. I've got 2,000 words to help you figure out how to get to those books better.
Great. I will find that article and I'll link to it in the show notes here of the podcast. Well, Todd, I appreciate all your business book wisdom today. If we want to find out more about you, and I'm sure we have lots of aspiring authors listening to this podcast too, and they want to find out more about your services for authors, where can we find you?
Absolutely. ToddSatterston.com.
ToddSatterston.com. I will link to that also in the show notes. We're talking to Todd Satterston. He's co-author of the 100 Best Business Books of All Time and founder of BizBook Lab. Hey, Todd, thanks for sharing everything today right here on Power to the Small Business.
Thanks, Jay.
Well, now, that was some interesting stuff. Changed my perspective a little bit. I'm currently writing my first book, and Todd has really got me thinking about how I'm going to market that book, who's going to read it, where they will read it. And I would be interested in your comments too, which you can leave at the podcast website, powertothesmallbusiness.com. That's where you'll also find complete show notes and links. But go ahead, leave a comment on this episode. Business books, do you read them? Where do you read them? How do you read them? Be interested to get your feedback. One more reminder, check out my fall webinar series at themarketingspot.com. Click on the webinar spot when you get there at the top right-hand corner of themarketingspot.com. My name is Jay Arrett. Please subscribe to this show in iTunes so that you never miss an episode of the internet show that's all about small business marketing. Power to the small business.
You've been listening to Power to the Small Business with Jay Arrett, the internet show exclusively about small business marketing. Please see the complete show notes at themarketingspotblog.com. You can also listen to the show online and subscribe in iTunes at powertothesmallbusiness.com. Never miss an episode of the internet show all about small business marketing. Power to the small business.
Our thanks to Mary Lynn Foster of The Big Success Show for the opening and closing credits of the podcast. You can find Mary Lynn at The Big Success Podcast, BIGGSuccess.com.